Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord and be thankful. Do it all in the name of the Lord. We give the Lord the glory and the praise and the honor for everything that we do.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 27th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Holiday Living. Our text comes to us from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
All right, let's get down to it. I like to address our season of Christmas coming up, and a time of festivity, a time of rejoicing and thanking God for all the many blessings. And I like to show you from Scripture how we need to live in these days, every day, but especially in the days that are coming up. People are looking for true answers. They don't know that, but they are. They're asking for ways in which they can make their lives meaningful. And you and I have the Lord in our hearts. And there should be a set of values as to how we live our life. That this is what it means to be a Christian. And there are people in our church that have unique employment positions. They're in positions of responsibility, in positions of influence, in positions of importance. And then there are those who follow the rules, and then there are those who may not feel themselves to be empowered, but yet they fulfill a role that is important to the place where they work. And there's a lot of others who are retired and have an impact in their immediate life. And I don't know what that is to wake up in the morning and say, I have no job to go to. Someday I'll experience that. Please, those of you who have gone there, let me know how it feels. But anyway, but what I'm saying is that as long as we're in this body, we need to live the Christian life. And we need to exert a certain amount of influence that is given to us by the fact that we're here in this world. Because, look, if you were not impacting somebody, the Lord will take you home. Because the Lord calls us when our life is done. And it's done when he says so. Not when the doctors say it, but when the Lord says. And when the Lord says, come home, hey, we go home. And all the prayers that we could formulate together will not detain that saint going home. Because when it's time, it's time. And it's God's time. But I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking as to the value of having life and being used of God in the remaining time that he gives us. So I've asked for us to look at the scripture, which is known to everybody, Galatians 2:20. And I would like for that to be our theme as we go through the holidays, and we'll unpack it. I'll tell you something today, and then next Sunday I'll say something else as we approach through the end of this year and approach the new year. So there it is. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May God bless the reading of his word, and may the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart. May you find comfort in God's word, and may you find direction in God's word, and may the Lord do something for you. How many of you would like to be able to say, I've gone to church and the Lord spoke to me, huh? Holy Spirit, we pray that be the case in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if there's any other more beautiful, meaningful verses in the Bible that Galatians 2:20. And it reveals so many things about the person who wrote it, St. Paul. And I'd like to talk a little bit about St. Paul, because Paul is the one who's saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So I don't live, and yet Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. First thing, I want you to know that this man, Paul, was totally identified with Christ. He said, I'm crucified with him. That's pretty much an identification. There's no greater degree of identifying yourself with Jesus than this, simply to say, I died. When he died, I died as well. And he says, I'm totally surrendered to him because Christ lives in me. So I identify with him, and I surrender to him. My life belongs to Christ. I'm fully yielded to fulfill God's will in my life. And that's not all. The Apostle Paul also says that he is going to live whatever years he has by faith in the Son of God. That there is a process here of commitment to God. That God was going to leave me. He's going to direct me. And he's going to provide for every step of the way as I crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There's something about God working in my life. There's something about the Lord talking to me and speaking to me and alerting my life that life needs to be lived differently because Christ has come into my life. Also, you can see that this writer, as he says, Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, he speaks about something that there was a time when he did not know the Lord. There was a time when he did not understand what it meant to have Christ in his life. He says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, it really says that he had other goals except serving Christ. But somehow, there was a turning point in his life, and everything got turned around. And when you look at Scripture, you find out that this was a man who was very astute and very smart and very diligent. But when he personally met Jesus Christ, his whole life changed. I want you to understand that the only way your life or my life can change is when Christ encounters it. It's not a church. It's not a religion. It's not a creed. It's not nothing except you personally encountering Christ in your life. And so people come to church and they need to meet the Savior. But you meet the Savior anywhere. But this is the place where we congregate. We come together. It's community. This is where Christ manifests himself. And until Christ does not appear before you, until you don't come face to face with Christ, your life will never change. But when you come to Christ, your life will completely and totally change. Paul's life, when he met the Lord, was no longer the same. It changed forever. It was never the same when he met Christ the Savior. So I think if we look at the life of Paul, we can see the change that happened in his life. It's amazing. This man in this verse that we read is a concise summary of who he really is, a summary of the whole life of the apostle. Let's look at the full story of this man, and let's compare notes. We read scriptures and we find out that he was, his first name was Saul of Tarsus. He was born in Tarsus, which was, it's present-day Turkey. Anybody ever been to Turkey? Of course, Pat, she's been everywhere. Pat's been everywhere, okay. But anyway, Turkey. And when Tarsus became occupied by the Romans, it became a Roman city. And so when Paul was born, he was born a Roman citizen. He grew up in Tarsus, and he became familiar with the Greek and with the Roman manners, customs, and languages. He was quite a man. And then later on in his life, he developed Jewish learning, and later on in life, he had great studies and formal religious training with a man by the name of Gamaliel. And he had about a decade of experience, and he became a Pharisee, which is a very distinguished and very important place within the structure of Jewish faith. And when you read carefully what Paul was doing when the Lord encountered him, he was leading a jihad against the Christians. He had made up his mind he was going to just destroy Christianity. He was. And many people have said that had it not been because of his encounter with Jesus and the road to Damascus, he would have done away with Christianity. He was a very powerful man. I was in Israel one time. Pat, I was in Israel one time. So there you go. I went there, Sister Rebecca. Okay. So, and then they took us to hear a lecture, and it was this Jewish rabbi, a woman rabbi. She was an intellectual in one of the universities, and she said that when she reads Paul, the letter to the Romans, she says, Paul almost destroyed the faith of the Jewish faith because of his analysis and his ability to take scripture and reason. Paul was a towering influence, much more than we could ever imagine. This was a man who knew everything there was to know about the Jewish faith, and he had made up his mind that he was going to wipe out Christianity. And again, people say, had it not been because of the Lord intervened, maybe Christianity would have gone away. But, you know, the Lord knows when to intervene, doesn't he? You know, if it wasn't because of the Lord, you know, there are things going on in your life today that if the Lord does not intervene, it's catastrophe. But listen, the Lord is intervening in your life. And because he's in your life, things will change. Things will change. It's not inevitable. Whatever you're facing today, there's a Christ that wants to appear in your road of Damascus. Because this is what happened. He was converted and he was trained. Jesus appeared out of nowhere in the midst of this man's life and transformed him completely. They say he was between 25 and 35 years of age. That's a nice age. Where was your favorite age? Some of you can do that. When I come back and I think, what was my favorite age, you know? I should say the one I have now, but not so, my friend. I can't tell you that. What was your favorite age? Can you shout out the age? That was your favorite age, anybody? 40. Oh, my goodness, that's old. I mean, 40. Anybody else? 27. Yeah, anybody else? 19. Ah, bandida. Okay. 17. Yeah, look at that.
When I accepted the Lord.
Ah. How old were you?
Ten.
10 years old. Look at that. Oh, boy. That's wonderful. No, mine was 27. Same as Carlos. 20. For whatever reasons, 27 was the best year of my life. Well, this man, Paul, he was between 25 and 35. In Acts 9:3-6. And God encountered him in the road to Damascus. He was going to destroy, kill Christians, and the Lord shows up. Listen, God intervenes in our lives, even in the most difficult, more negative moments of our existence. Because God loves us. He showed up. He stopped him. And there was a voice that came from heaven that said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul was struck with blindness. He became blind because there was a huge light that came and he was blind. Maybe it's a good symbol to let him know, a symbol that he was blind spiritually as well, but he was blinded. And so he was completely helpless, completely humbled. And he spent 3 days in fasting and praying. I mean, if I have an experience like that, my appetite is gone. I'm not going to eat anything. And he began to look upon his own life and pondered the words and the encounter he had with the Lord. And so he asked for forgiveness for his sins and the mistaken zeal that he had. And then Ananias comes to him and restores his sight and baptizes him. There's always going to be an Ananias in your life. There's always going to be somebody that comes to you to make sense as to what's going on in your life and to give you the peace that you need. And so Paul was immediately transformed from the horrible, terrible persecutor of Christ to becoming the greatest apostle the church ever had. And see, and scripture says that straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. You know, when you really encounter the Lord, you know it's the Lord.
Amen.
10 years old, huh? I beat you. I was 5. We're not in that competition here, but I was 5 when I came to the knowledge of the Lord. I remember that day very well. Ralph? Seven. I still beat you. No. Yes, seven. Look at five. Look at that. And there's something about encountering the Lord that cuts a path for you. Amen. There's something about coming to the Lord that shows you how you're going to live. And if you listen to that voice and you follow through, your life is never the same, and it's a life blessed by God. So, what happened to Paul? You would think everybody would throw a party. Mike, guess what happened? He got beat up. Guess what happened? The Jews regarded him as a traitor. And they said, this is the guy that we sent to destroy the Christians, and now he's one of them? Amazing what this man did. You know, as you read the scriptures, you find that Paul took off to Arabia. He just took off for 3 years away from them. Something about taking time with the Lord that has encountered you. There's something about listening to God's voice. Sometimes you need to leave the geographical, social space to hear God. Well, he was away for 3 years. Some people say that those were the 3 years where God spoke to him. I have no doubts. And showed him what he had to do and began to understand what God was doing in his life. Some people say there were 3 years because that's the number of years that Jesus spent with the other apostles. So he's given him 3 years to speak to him. And he withdrew from all of that environment to listen to the voice of God. Listen, when you come to know the Lord, you're going to have opposition. But you need to take time off to listen to his voice. Yeah, of course. It tells us that after Arabia, he went to Jerusalem, where Peter was and James was. And he went there for 15 days and began to speak about the importance of observing the grace and loving God. And then he went back for 4 years to Tarsus. And you don't hear from him in those 4 years. He, again, is going to places where God was calling him to do things. Then a Gentile church was formed in Antioch. And the church in Jerusalem sent a person by the name of Barnabas to establish it. And then all of a sudden we have Paul and Barnabas together. And they receive a call of God to go and evangelize the world. And he began to plant churches for the rest of his life. And this man shook the entire life. Listen, there's a plan in your life for God. God is working in your life. Maybe where you're working now is your Tarsus. Maybe where you're working now maybe is your Arabia. Who knows what God is preparing you for? Don't think it's the end of your life, because God has a plan for your life and it will be fulfilled. What is God doing? Give yourself time to ponder where you are and say, Lord, what will you have me do? So this man, Paul, in his late 30s, or some people think early 40s. There you go, Pat, early 40s. He and Barnabas were sent as missionaries to the church of Antioch. And they had a wonderful time there. And yet, within the next 15 years, Paul completed three missionary journeys covering four provinces of the Roman Empire. And he planted churches everywhere he went. There was something about God working in his life. That encounter that he had transformed him completely. When you and I have an encounter in the Lord, our life changes. Our history changes. We're no longer the same. That's why Paul was able to say, I live yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this Christ living in him caused him to live differently than the rest of his life as he would have lived it. And all through those missionary journeys, Paul did not have an easy life, but he had a directed, purposeful life. Paul had rough times. So you and I may know the Lord. You and I may have encountered the Lord. You and I may have him in our hearts. Maybe you're going through a difficult trial, a difficult moment. It's natural for you to go through issues in life. No one's void of that. No one can say, I know Christ now, I'm not going to have another problem. Are you kidding? We have those issues. And see, this Christmas season, you have issues. You have difficulties. But you have encountered the Lord, and the Lord has encountered you. And there's a purpose and there's direction in your life. And all the bad thoughts that may come to your mind, you rebuke them in the name of the Lord, and you claim the Lord as the guide of your life. You are in a good place after the Lord encounters you. You're in a good place. Let me tell you, this man, Paul, let me tell you what he went through. He is the guy that encountered the Lord. He is the guy that was called of God. He is the guy that wrote half the Testament. The New Testament, he is the man of God. He is an apostle to the Gentiles. I mean, how can we describe Paul? He's after Christ. I think it's Paul, not Peter. Peter was rebuked by Paul. It's another story. Listen, this is what he says. In labors, this is Paul. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. People said that if you wanted to find Paul, you needed to go to the city jail because that's where he would be. In deaths often, of the Jews 5 times I received, I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, enduring often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. Whoa! Of my own countrymen. Yeah. Yeah. Aun los mexicanos y los argentinos y los cubanos y los peruanos. Y, yeah. Among ourselves. Yeah. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. Wow, había hermanos falsos. Yo pensaba que solamente aquí había hermanos falsos. I thought only here we had false brethren. No, it's everywhere. Look at this man. He saw him talking and speaking and addressing the issues of his life. And he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's the missionary. That's Paul. That's what he went through. So we go through things in life. Your marriage is not working. Your husband, your wife, your kids, your job, the bills. We all go through that. But it doesn't remove you from God's blessing upon you and God's direction in your life. He will resolve those issues His way. As you follow the Lord. And you know, you continue to listen to this man's life, and he was imprisoned. He went to jail, of course. And then he was beheaded. After he completed the journeys we spoke about, Paul was arrested at Jerusalem, and he was imprisoned in Caesarea. And false charges were brought against him. False charges? Yeah, think of it. You know, some people don't like you. Would you like to say that out loud? Some people don't like you. You got people that don't like you. I happen to like you, but there's some people that don't like you. Do you know that you have people that don't like you? Hey, that's normal. Sometimes we think because we're Christians, everybody's going to like us. People don't like you. So people will say things about you, and bad things about you. And we're supposed to be Christians. Yeah, but that's the world. We live in a world that has gone haywire. We've never seen it so bad. At least we haven't seen it so bad. It's crazy out there. It's crazy. So false charges were brought up against by unbelieving Jews and brethren. And there was a court hearing. And you can read all of this. And all I can tell you about this special moment is that Paul appealed to the court because he was a Roman citizen, so he was transferred to Rome, and he was kept there under arrest, house arrest, for 3 years. And then he was released, and then he began to travel again, and we're not sure of this, but one of the great things about the scripture is that in the book of Romans, Paul says that he wants to go to Spain, and many of us believe that he actually traveled to Spain. So I'm going to go and travel to Spain. I want to go see where Paul walked. Some of you have gone to see where Jesus walked. I want to go see where Paul walked. He went to Spain. He kept going. He kept working. So he never stopped. In his 60s, he's arrested again. And this time he's sentenced to death. And Nero is the one that persecuted him, and he was decapitated. And before he died, he was in prison. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You know, there's going to come a time for all of us when we're going to arrive at that moment. And it'd be wonderful if you and I can say the same thing at the end of our lives. That, yes, Lord, I know it's time for me to come home, and Lord, here I am. I have fought the good fight, finished the course, I've kept the faith. I have lived the life you wanted me to live. With all the bumps and the ups and the downs and the issues and the unresolved situations and the complexities of life. But Lord, here I am. I have done the best I can. And that's all the Lord wants us to do. But to get to that place, we need to emulate. We need to imitate the life that we've described, the life of Paul. We need to live the life of a Christian. We need to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we need to know, how do we implement that life? We know what Paul did, but how do you and I live that way? How do we live as believers? How do we live the life that needs to be lived? Because we desperately need to have ways in which we can engage society, engage our friends, even engage ourselves. So your conversion to Christianity, my conversion to Christianity, yours, may not have been as dramatic as Paul, because I never had a light like that. I never heard a voice saying, why are you persecuting me? And maybe your conversion doesn't come ever close to the Damascus experience, but you're saved nevertheless. And you and I have received of the same mercy and the same grace that Paul received. We have genuine salvation. How we got saved is not as important as the fact that we are saved, because the same grace came from the Lord, and our sins deserve the forgiveness that he gives to you and to me. So you deserve to be forgiven. Now, I think of Paul, and the man who was so well endowed and so great abilities, intellectual abilities and spiritual acuity, and that enable him to preach the gospel in such a fantastic way and plant churches. Maybe that's not where we are. Certainly I'm not. But I tell you what, we have been endowed with the presence of God that can be used for his glory. You don't have to change one iota about yourself. God loves you as you are, and he will use you as you are right now. So you and I need to live our life for Christ from where we are. We're approaching the holidays. 2 weeks ago, I was hearing Christmas carols. We hadn't even ended Thanksgiving, and there they go again. They want you to buy everything now. And, you know, and Christmas becomes a place for buying and buying and commercialization. And, you know, listen, among all that noise, live for Christ. Serve the Lord. Galatians 2:20 should be yours. You should be able to say, I identify with Christ. Christ is my Savior. And you and I ought to be able to surrender ourselves to Christ's will. And you and I need to make a commitment to live out our faith. That is not just coming to church. It's not just listening to a sermon. It's not just reading the Bible once in a while, but it's a commitment to live for the Lord and everything he stands for. that my life will so shine in the midst of this crazy world we live in, and people will say, huh, what's going on? And you'll be able to say, the Lord is in my life. Maybe, perchance, you remember when the Lord came to your life. You remember the day that you encountered the Lord. Yeah, it was not Damascus experience in the sense that you didn't see the light. Some of you may have never been there, but you can be today. You can experience Christ this morning. He can come to you, but you will remember the day that you came to know the Lord. I certainly remember it. I was very young. And then time went by because, 5 years old, what can you do with 5 years old? I don't know. But I was 8 years when I understood the meaning of the gospel in the sense of service, and I gave my life to serve the Lord. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a medical missionary. I wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to be a missionary. Well, I didn't make the doctor, but that's another story altogether. But I don't cut up people or anything like that, but I did become that other. But God knows what he's doing in your life and my life. But I remember that I said, Lord, use me. Small, but I said, Lord, use me. And you and I might have said, Lord, take my life. And in the midst of your pain and in the anguish of your salvation experience, you said, here I am, Lord. And some of you might have cried, some of you might not, but you've said, made a promise, a commitment to serve God. Say, here I am, Lord, take my life. And then, not too much time comes by and you forgot all about it. And we became lukewarm to the point that we're kind of like frozen Christians. We're in a deep freeze in our hearts. This is a season to thaw out. This is the season and the time that you follow up on the promises you made to the Lord when you said, Lord, I will serve you, I will follow you. When you heard that voice, listen, the Lord needs to speak and rekindle your heart again. He needs to speak to your heart because living for Christ is a daily commitment that requires a conscious effort every single day to involve Christ in every aspect of our life. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Everything I do, I get the Lord involved. I don't live separate from God. Wherever I go, I work, I do this, I do that, I do the other. The Lord is involved, is there. Because when you include the Lord in your everyday aspects of life, you will begin to understand what it means to live for Christ. Now, Paul writes to the Colossians. And I want to end with this because our time does not allow us to do any more. But in Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 5, 1, it tells us how to live for Christ every day. If we say Christ lives in me, then this is how you show Christ living in you. Are you ready for this? Because I tell you, when you read this, you will understand the importance of having Christ in your life first. This is what he says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything that we do in the name of the Lord, because Christ lives in me. So that's what Paul did. See, it doesn't take much energy to simply allow the Lord to work in your life and say, whatever I do, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. Whatever. It takes a lot of pressure of trying to become something you're not or making promises to serve God where you're not. Wherever you are, whatever you are right now, whatever you're going through, the Lord needs to be included. Include him in your daily routines. Include him at work. Include him in your marriage. Include him with your children, with your parents. You need to allow the Lord to be part of your fabric. And everything you do as unto the Lord. But listen, Paul is very strict with this because he says, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord and be thankful. Do it all in the name of the Lord. We give the Lord the glory and the praise and the honor for everything that we do. And we do things by his grace that strengthens you and me. That's how we can do all things. Look, there are things in our life that we can't really take care of unless God intervenes. So let him intervene. Bring him to the forefront. And be humble. Humble enough to accept his direction. Sometimes we're so stubborn. How many are stubborn? I was born stubborn. So, oh my goodness. No wonder we're having trouble here. That stubbornness, surrender it to the Lord. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Because when I keep reading this, and we'll do more of this next time that we come together, it gets kind of hairy. It gets kind of complicated. Because God is not a Beninsky. He doesn't fit into your life, but he tells you this is how you should live. And when he shows you how you and I should live, we can't do it without him. Amen. And that's the whole purpose of following the Lord. Are you ready for next Sunday? You need to be ready for next Sunday by being ready right now. Because next Sunday, we're going to hit these passages of Scripture to show you how Christ lives in me, yet not I, but whatever I have to live in the flesh, whatever I have to do right now, I'm going to do it by faith. So I got issues in my life. Do you really think for a moment that Paul loved the fact that he was being beaten up or shipwrecked or going through hunger? Do you think that the fastings came to him because he decided to fast? Fastings came because he had nothing to eat. Okay? None of the stuff that he went through, he did it because he was a masochist. He wasn't looking for pain to be inflicted upon him. It's the way life is. The way he was processed in this world. But look what Paul writes for Christ to live in you. All right? Are you ready? Whatever you do, listen to what Paul says. Wives. All of a sudden, he goes to the home. What do you know? What do you know? But I thought he was going to talk to me about some very wonderful, profound, spiritual experience. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Oh, wait, I'm not done. Husbands. Here he goes, guys. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Oh, wait, he goes on. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh, and fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Don't be a sneako. Don't try to please your boss when he's looking at you. Look what Paul's saying to the slaves. And they were slaves. They were, as a matter of fact, when the Romans conquered countries, everybody who was conquered became a slave. There were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. So that was the way it was. So we're not talking about anything else except what the Scripture says. And then he goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance in the Lord, inheritance from the Lord as reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Pues ya estuvo. Se acabó Black Lives Matter. Se acabó Chicano Power. Se acabó la social justice. Se acabó todo el mundo. Porque el cristiano no es del mundo. Christians don't belong to this world. We're in this world, but we're not in the world. We serve a risen Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to Him. There's a different code of life, code of ethics that we follow. So I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and this is how I, and you start looking at that scripture, and all of a sudden it revolutionizes you, because you don't live like the world. You live like a child of God. And I don't care how you twist it and you move it here and move it there, it's there. And you know what? All of us have been unjustly treated. Let me take a small survey. How many have been unjustly treated? Some of you are lucky people. The Lord says He will take care of that for you. And anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritisms. God doesn't cheat. God knows everything about you and about me. And I'm telling you, to live in the Christian life, and to live in a time of Christmas is so indispensably important for you to have Christ in your life. When Christ is in your life, you will have a different behavior, because Christ is in your life. So what does all of this mean? It means that your whole life needs to come to Christ, and you need to have that encounter, because that's where it all begins. But once Christ is in your life, there's a process that God begins to work in your life, and you become a servant of Christ, and you do things differently because Christ is in you, and the Lord works in you, and the world looks at you and they think you're weird. We probably are weird, but actually they are the weird ones, because they don't know the Lord, and you and I know the Lord. And we know why we do what we do. And there's a purpose and there's a design. And you are a light where you are today. You may say to yourself, I don't have that experience with Christ. You can have that right now in Jesus' name. How? By saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That's all you need to do. In your own heart, say, Lord, come into my life. He will. He will come. And there will be a movement in your heart. Things will change, and it will be a gradual change. Some people is a spectacular change, and others it's just gradual change. But when you say, Lord, come into my life, help me to resolve the issues I have. Lord, forgive me, for I do recognize that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. When you enter into that dialogue with God in your own heart, without understanding all the complexities of theology, just your own heart saying, Lord, come into my life. Lord, just forgive my sins. Just open my eyes that I may live for you. When you understand that you can't solve the problem you have in your hands, say, come and help me. And the biggest problem you and I have is how to deal with our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. But we say, Lord, forgive my sins. And He will. He will in your life. So as the Lord speaks to you, let me know. Because I like to pray with you. And people here will pray for you and will help you to understand more what it means to serve and to follow the Lord. But the rest of you who know the Lord, okay, muchachos, let's be like Argentina. Let's make the goal. Yeah. Let's go all the way. Sorry, Mexico, but it's okay. Sorry, Japan. Viva Ticolandia. Okay. I'm going to get words after this. Serve the Lord. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in my life. So, Lord, I thank you, because you call us to a life that is so above natural, so above everything we see around us. You call us to a life of obedience, of commitment, but it comes out of an encounter with you. Nothing could happen until you come into our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that this will be a morning of decision making, that deep in our heart we will say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, make it clear to every one of us how desperately you love us and that you don't condemn us and that you don't hold us accountable for our sins because your Son took those sins on the cross. Help us as Christians, Lord, to serve you, to put you first, Lord, and to have a life of testimony through this Christmas season and for the rest of our lives. But people around us will see that Christ lives in us and that we live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Stay around for the decoration of the church.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.